brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, because you are already, by the power of Christ, unleavened. Christ, our Pasch, is sacrifice. On this magnificent day, we celebrate, we commemorate, we relive in the sacred liturgy of Holy Mother, the Church, the wondrous event of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For 40 days, we have, with Mother Church, commemorated and gone through and hopefully suffered with Christ during the holy season of Lent, and especially during Passiontide and the 3 days of the sacred Triduum, the 3 days that changed the world, the 3 days that transformed the world. It was for this that he came. He came that he might give us life and life eternal. He came that we might be cleansed of the old paste, that which was filled with sin. He came that he might erase from our souls, erase from our lives, the evil of sin, which Adam and Eve had foolishly introduced into the world, into mankind. And so now, he has accomplished that for which he came. But it is just the beginning. We see these holy women that were his disciples, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. She was Mary of Cleophas, the mother of James and Simon and Jude and Joseph and John Mark. He doesn't say it because it's not about him. And then Salome. All of them were friends and relatives of the Blessed Mother and of Saint Joseph. And so they all knew and they all expected the wondrous event that was now taking place, that yet they did not understand, and none of them did. St. Mark also tells us that St. Peter and St. John, the evangelists, did not totally understand this great mystery that we celebrate. He tells us that St. John, who was still a teenager, ran faster than St. Peter, who, by the way, was still a young man. Everyone thinks he was some old man. He was not. He was probably in his 20s. He was to die about 30 years after this. When he died, he was not 100 years old or 90 years old. And so St. Peter was still a young man, but older than St. John, and St. John ran faster. And all of the different accounts tell us something slightly different, because they are not the result of some conniving on the part of the apostles, on the part of the evangelists. Each one saw as he saw. And so, St. John saw from outside the tomb that was already open, same thing. He saw the cloths, the shroud. And recently there have been tremendous discoveries that almost without a doubt point to the fact that the Shroud of Turin is indeed the shroud of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who saved us from our sins. and the cloth. The cloth which covered his face. There were two cloths. The shroud, which was very big, and covered his head, his whole body, front and back. But on top of his face and his head, there was another cloth. Now the shroud is in Turin. The cloth that they speak of is in Spain and bears the face of Christ. Not as beautifully as the veil of St. Veronica, but nevertheless the face of Christ. And so St. John and St. Peter see this, and then St. John, out of respect for the fact that this is the first vicar of Christ on earth, allows him to go in first. Here, St. Peter and St. John have already been there. They do not speak about the cloths any longer. These women come to anoint the body of Christ, as was the custom of the Hebrew people, of the Hebrew religion. And there in the tomb by himself is a young man, really an angel. An angel from heaven. And they immediately understand. How else could he be there? And the stone which was rolled back weighed about 2,000, maybe 3,000 pounds. They worried about who would possibly roll that stone back for them. And as a result, they could not figure it out. And then all of a sudden, it was open. It is very much like we in life. There are so many circumstances, so many problems, and we don't know how on earth we are going to overcome them. How are we going to solve them? How are we going to make it through? How are we going to survive? And then our Lord takes care of it. And the stone was rolled back. And the angel there tells him, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. Why is he not here? Because he has risen from the dead. Tell his disciples." And here again, we see the mark of respect, of deference for Peter, the first pope. Tell his disciples, pause, and Peter. Peter, the first pope, to him we pray for the church in this day and age when we are in such difficulties. And tell them that he, the Lord, Jesus, goes into Galilee as he said he would. All throughout the liturgy of this season of Easter, 50 days of Easter, as we see in the back of the church, resurrexit sicut dixit. He has risen as he said. Our Lord is truth. And as he says, he does. He fulfills his word. And so go and tell the apostles, the disciples, and Peter, the most important one of all at that stage, that he has risen, that he has gone to Galilee. And so begins this wondrous season of Easter, which we shall live with Christ and with the Blessed Mother. Now, the Blessed Mother is deliberately not mentioned here. The Blessed Mother, according to tradition and according to her apparitions to the mystics of the church, received a special apparition of Christ. It was to her first that the risen Christ appeared. What joy must have filled her heart, the heart of that sorrowful mother with whom we traversed the stations of the cross, the way of Calvary. And it is to her, the mother of sorrows, the mother of the suffering servant, that he appears first. So she is not mentioned here. She goes back into the background. And there she commemorates, enjoys, and contemplates the mystery that has taken place. And so therefore, if you want to understand better not only the mystery of the death of Christ, but especially the mystery of his resurrection, you need to go to her. She will tell you all about it. She will fill you with the knowledge, with the joy that was hers. And so today, we rejoice with the Blessed Mother and with all the apostles and disciples that the great gift that was promised in Genesis 3:15 has taken place. I will put enmity between thyself and the woman, God said to Satan. Between her and her son and thy seed, her seed and thy seed. She shall crush thy head. Saint Jerome tells us in his translation of the sacred scriptures, he who had everything available to him that we do not, she shall crush thy head. I will put enmity between thee and her. She will crush thy head. Mary Almighty, Almighty because God has made her so, she who is pure and holy, immaculate and virginal, she receives everything that she is and everything that she has from God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And she will teach us, especially during this season of Easter, 50 days of Easter, until Pentecost. She, the special and beloved daughter of God the Father, the chosen mother of God the Son, the most chaste spouse of God the Holy Spirit, as we pray every day. And so, let us rejoice. Let us feast, not in the old leaven, the dirty, sinful leaven that was ours before, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the leaven that is ours, the unleavened, in fact, bread of sincerity and truth. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, become the Son of Mary, is sincerity and truth. And he will show us the way. He has come to give us the way. He precedes us to Galilee, as he said. He has risen, as he said. Resurrexit, sicut dixit. As we celebrate these great mysteries, I pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen, to bestow upon each and every one of you a most holy and wonderful Easter day and Easter season. May he fill your hearts with his Spirit. And may you rejoice in him. the Son of God, who has risen from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.